Many voices are clamoring to be heard in these critical days, and confusion reigns on every hand. In the din of the shouting, the message is not heard. As the president so aptly applied this reasoning in his inaugural address to the national problems of the day, how much more true can it be applied to the spiritual problems of each one of us? You know, my dear listening friend, to think of this in this way is of utmost importance for us. There's no problem so important as facing the fact as to whom are we listening to. Men are shouting various things, but God is also speaking. Have we heard Him? Are we listening to what He has to say? You know, He has spoken very simply and plainly, and yet profoundly and authoritatively. And as He said to His disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration concerning His Son, "This is My beloved Son, hear Him." Just so He says to you and to me today, He wants our ear. He wants us in the quiet of our souls to be still and know that He is God and that He has spoken to us in His Word. He has the remedy for our problems. He has the solution to our difficulties. The entrance of His words will bring light into our soul. I would like today to turn you to the first chapter of Hebrews, where we have God speaking to us in His Son. The Spirit of God inspiring Paul to write brings before us at the beginning God Himself, the One who had spoken in times past and in many ways, in many places, to the fathers by the prophets. Partially, God could speak to men before the coming of Christ. But at the coming of Christ, in reference to the last days, we have that the fullness of God's mind is told out in Him. There's no more to be spoken. And in God sending His only begotten Son into the world, He has spoken to us in Him in a complete revelation. For as His Son and co-equal, He has given expression to all that He is. And the divine fullness of the Godhead dwells in that beloved One whom we know as the Lord Jesus Christ. What does the Spirit of God have to say about Him whom we are to hear? We have in verses 2 and 3 a sevenfold declaration of glory in connection with our Lord Jesus Christ, the One by whom and in whom our God has spoken to us. May I ask that you lend an ear to hear what He has to say? Oh, He would speak to your heart and win it for Himself. Would you close your ears to all that is simply of human reasoning, mere speculation, and listen to what He, God over all, has to say to you? In connection with the Lord Jesus, His beloved Son, He first of all says He has appointed Him heir of all things. Before there was any creation, He was the appointed heir as the eternal Son of all that was to be created. The second glory is that He's spoken of as the One by whom He made the worlds. The whole Godhead was active in creation, as we get from Genesis 1, in the beginning God, the triune God, created the heavens and the earth. But we have in this epistle, and also in Colossians and John 1, the work of creation particularly attributed to the second person of the Godhead, the Lord Jesus Christ. All things were made by him, says John. And here, by whom he made the worlds. The third glory mentioned, who being the brightness of his glory. All the glory of the Godhead, that which emanates from God himself, that which we cannot even begin to imagine, who God dwelling in light, yet has come out to us in the revelation of his Son, who said, I am the light of the world. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. It was nothing reflected. It was that which was inherent in him. And dear listening friend, the Lord Jesus Christ displayed the glory. He was the one who was the brightness or the outraying of the glory of God. Want to see God's glory? We look at his Son. Fourth, we read that he's the express image of his person. The thought is, such as one would gather from the stamp which makes the coin. The word itself in the Greek means the character. And the character of God is fully seen in the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to know how holy he is, how wise, how good, how loving, and how powerful. Well, we see the power, love, wisdom, holiness of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the express image of his person. Next, you notice that he has power, power in his word, to uphold all things. The Lord Jesus is not only creator, but he is also the God of providence. He's the upholder, the sustainer of all things. All things are held together by him. What a Savior we have. I wonder if you know him as such. Have you ever thought of the Lord Jesus in the way the Scripture presents him here? These are God's thoughts concerning him. And you must have God's thoughts concerning Christ in order to have a Savior. He is the one who came now to give himself to make purification for sin. Oh, the wonder of the grace of God that should send such a one as his beloved Son into this world to be Son of Man and to give himself to accomplish a work that would make purification for sin. He by himself made purification for sin. Five distinct things are said about him prior to this. In these five first glories, we have his person in connection with his deity. And now we are brought to see his manhood and why did he become man. There was no other way that sin could be put away. And he took it upon himself to come into the world to by himself make purification for sin. There's no other mediator between God and men. Baptism cannot do it. You cannot help him do it. No religious ceremony. No other person. The Lord Jesus himself could do the work, and he has done it. He said, it is finished. And he shed his blood on the cross, which makes purification for sin. Do you know your sins purged? Oh, if you know him as a Savior, if you've accepted him, you've come to him in repentance, and you own him, my Lord and my God, such as Thomas did, your sins are purged. Well, the blessed Son of God came just for that purpose. And that work is finished. And that work which he did is just as perfect as the perfection of his purpose, of his person. And now, where do we see him? The seventh glory mentioned is that he's at the right hand of the Majesty on high. He's exalted there, crowned with glory and honor. God has been satisfied with all that he did. And in the glory he now sits, and from the glory he sends the message of salvation to you and me, to hear about him, to accept the truth concerning him. What think ye of Christ? Again I say, your thoughts must be according to the word of God. Oh, you will have faith as you listen to the word, for faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now you notice, the apostle goes on in this chapter to bring a sevenfold witness of Scripture to the same person that we've been speaking of, the one that you have to do with. We won't refer to all the seven passages, time forbids, but they're all taken out of the book of Psalms, and I would urge that you consider each one of them. Would like to just notice one or two in connection with what the Father says about this Blessed One. In verse 5 he says, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. The this day here is time in contrast to eternity. When the Son incarnate took the place of man in subjection to the Father, to do the Father's will. That was his coming into the world. And as he goes on to say, in fulfillment of Scripture, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. In the relationship that had existed in eternity is now brought into time. And we hear him many times addressing the Father. And yet the marvel and the mystery of it is he would say, I and my Father are one. We also notice here that he is the object of the worship of the angels. And then in verse 8, notice these words. If you've ever had any doubt as to the deity of Christ, notice what the Father says about the Lord Jesus in verse 8. Unto the Son he saith, the Father saith, Thy throne, O God. God the Father knew that the Lord Jesus was God the Son. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. And it's the Son of God who became Son of Man, and by his work at Calvary has put away sin, and he's purchased all creation. He is Lord of all. He is going to reign. He's going to reign in righteousness. His scepter is that which he's going to hold over all creation. This is the one that you have to do with. The one whom you will bow to, either in grace or in judgment. There's further witness given to him too in verse 10. Thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth. He is Lord. He's Lord of all. Through his redemptive work, he has purchased all things. Those who believe are redeemed. But all things belong to him. And then you'll notice witness is given again to him of his creatorial power. For it says that he laid the foundation of the earth. Again, I stress what Scripture stresses, the eternal sonship of the Lord Jesus Christ as Creator as well as Redeemer. By his word, the heavens were established. Think of it. And then he goes on to say that heaven and earth shall pass away. They shall fold up like a garment. As a vesture, they shall be changed. But not so with the Creator, not so with the Redeemer. We read here, the Spirit of God says, thou art the same. The same could be spelled with a capital S, for it's one of his names. Thy years shall not fail. He's the eternal one. Oh, again, let me ask, do you know him? Well, God has spoken in his word to show you the glory of his Son, who he is, what he has done. This is preaching Christ. This is what we desire to do, to bring the Lord Jesus before you in his glory and majesty and dignity, in his love and grace and goodness, in his work for you. Do you know him as your Savior? The apostle goes on to say, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we should slip away from them. Look, you have opportunity today to receive these words and be blessed. But if you neglect this, if you put off, you may not have an opportunity again to receive by faith this one who is presented to you in his holy word. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Dear listening friend, there's no escape from the judgment of God. If you neglect the salvation of God set forth in his Son and his Word, God speaks to you in his Word today. Will you not hear and live? Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Will you not come? Will you not believe? Will you not take and receive? God grant that you will. And if you do, you shall be the receiver of his blessing of eternal life. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Well, may God give you to hear his word and live.